In Acts chapter 4, or Acts chapter, yes, Acts chapter 4, last time I was with you, we talked about this miracle that that happened, and it actually happened in chapter 3 when Peter and John were going to the temple for the hour of prayer. It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They had the 3 times a day. They had prayer. They had at 9, at noon, and at 3. And this was at the afternoon time of prayer. And so they were together going there. They came to the gate, the beautiful gate of the temple, that there was a man that was laid there on a daily basis by his family, friends, whoever it was that was involved in that, because he was lame in his feet, had been that way all of his life. And in that culture, there was no job working on the internet, you know, nothing else you could do. If you didn't have physical abilities, there wasn't much you could do to provide for yourself. And so he begged daily at that gate, and people would give him money so that he had something to eat. And so everybody was pretty much familiar with this man. When Peter came along, he was on his way in to preach with John, or pray rather, with John, and he said, as you may remember, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he reached down with his right hand, took this man by the hand, and he stood up, and his ankle bones received strength. He was healed. He began to jump and leap and praise God. He must have been a Pentecostal. He wasn't a Baptist. He was doing all kinds of stuff in church. But he was just having a wonderful time praising the Lord. It drew a crowd. Peter began to preach. And so many people were saved as a result of that. But also as a result of that, persecution came. The Jewish leaders who did not want Christ preached took notice of what was happening. And so persecution started to be an issue. They cautioned the apostles and told them, they warned them not to preach in this name. And of course, they said they could not do anything except preach in this name. And that there was no other name, none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so that is what's happened up to this point. And they have been warned and they have kept preaching. And now we're at a point where we get to chapter 4 and verse 23. And that's where we're going to begin reading today. Chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, and which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of Thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. For a truth against Thy holy child Jesus, whom Thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever Thy hand and Thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we just ask that Your hand would be upon this message this morning. We ask that You would speak to each of our hearts from Your word, that Your Spirit would be our teacher, that He would speak to us, even things that aren't verbally said would be said to the heart today. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning that is not certain of their relationship with You, that today would be the day that they would put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that as we look into this prayer that your saints prayed, that we would catch a vision for how to pray, and that we would pray a prayer like they prayed, a prayer that you answer, and that you would be glorified in. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the title of this message is The Prayer That God Answers. The Prayer That God Answers. That is what we just read. We read a prayer, we read a situation that led to a prayer, and a prayer that God answered. How many of you like to get answered prayer? Anybody? I love to get answered prayer. I want to know how to pray so that God will answer my prayer. Now, the truth is that God answers every prayer. He answers every prayer. Sometimes He answers yes, sometimes He answers no, and sometimes He answers wait. But God hears and answers our prayer. God invites us to pray. He wants us to pray. He wants us to pray boldly. He wants us to pray in His will. And He wants us to pray in faith and act on that faith. And so I think there are some principles here in this passage that would help us to understand how to pray in a way that God answers. And I mean a way that God answers in the positive, not necessarily God answers generally speaking, but that God answers in the positive. You know, John tells us in 1 John chapter 5, let me just turn there so I don't, sometimes I can quote it and sometimes I don't quote it right. So I just want to make sure I quote it right. 1 John chapter 5, one of my favorite promises in the Scripture. And it's verse 13 and 14. Or verse 14 and 15, excuse me. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Isn't that an amazing promise? Think about it. God is saying, this is the confidence that we have. This is something we can be confident about. That if we can ask anything, anything, according to God's will, that we can know that God will give it to us. Anything. If we can ask anything according to God's will. Now, I know immediately, if you're like most Baptists, we're trying to think of ways to explain this away. We're trying to think of ways to explain it. And it's not because we don't want God to answer our prayers. It's because we're trying to explain away why the thing that we've prayed for has not yet happened. And that sometimes creeps into our lives and we have difficulty trusting God's promises. I want to challenge you this morning to trust God's promises. Trust God's promises even when you don't understand. Because you know what? God doesn't make it so that we always understand. He doesn't require us to always understand. What He requires is that we believe. That we trust Him. And so what is John saying in this passage? Now, I want to spend a moment on this before we go back to our main text, okay? What John is saying is that not that you have carte blanche from God to ask whatever you want, to consume it on your own lust. He's not saying that you can just name it and claim it. But what he is saying is that there are certain circumstances under which you can ask anything knowing that God will do it. What is the circumstance? The circumstance is anything according to His will. Anything according to His will. Now let me tell you something else about that I have personally experienced in my own prayer life, personally believe that God has taught me in my own prayer life. There is a tendency among some of us to use the phrase, if it be thy will, almost as a clause for God to not have to answer this. You know what I mean? We can pray and we'll ask God for something and we'll say, if it be thy will. Now, believe me, I'm not saying don't do that. James tells us that we need to pray in God's will. We do need to say, if it's your will. But don't let that be a cop-out for faith. Make sure that when you pray that, you truly are seeking the will of God. That you're not using it just as an excuse to explain away a prayer that wasn't answered. Am I making sense? This means yes. This means no. Okay. So what is the key to having prayers get answered? The primary key is praying in the will of God. Praying in the will of God. How do you do that? How do you pray in the will of God? See, the key is not getting God's arm twisted to get Him to do what you want, but instead the key is conforming what you want to what He wants. Conforming your desires to His desires. And if you can conform your desires to His desires, that will cause your prayers to be conformed to His desires. And John says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when you pray like that, you can be confident that you will receive what you're praying for. You can be confident. Now, with that in mind, let's go back to our text in the book of Acts. What is just happening? What have we just read about? Well, they've just been threatened by the religious leaders not to preach in the name of Jesus. And they stood up boldly and said that they must obey God. They must do this. They are witnesses of His resurrection. And yet, when they left, if they're like any other human beings, I'm sure fear rose in their hearts. It's one thing to stand there in the moment, being filled with the Holy Spirit, and say the truth, but as you get away from that, all these things start coming in your mind. The devil ever try to sneak things into your mind to make you not believe the Lord? He does with me. He's always trying to throw those darts and get in my mind. Sometimes my flesh wants to think about things that have nothing to do with what God wants me to be thinking about. And so we can all fall into that. So what did they do? Well, they went back to the church. Verse 24, it says that when they let go, see verse 23, they went to their own company and they reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So they've come back to the church and it's prayer request time. It's time to offer up your prayer request. In our church, what we're doing right now is we're having, of course, live services like you are. We're also doing it also being online, the services online. And then in our ABFs, our Sunday school groups, what we're doing is pretty much everything's been online. And my class, I've been doing it all on Facebook Live, but because we were doing that, we didn't have prayer time. So now we're having prayer times at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning online. And we get together and we pray. And so we have prayer request time. And this morning it was an hour long. We had a lot of prayer requests. And so they had this prayer request time. That's what they're doing. Coming up and say, hey, we've got something to pray for. Now, if they were the typical American church, probably this prayer request wouldn't have been exactly the way it was in the Jerusalem church. They probably would have, I would guess, based on my experience in typical American churches, they would have been saying, Lord, we need to pray this persecution stops. We need to pray that you'll give us a change of administration. If we could just have a change of administration, life would be good. And then we could obey the Lord. But right now, we can't do this because we've been told not to. And so we need to pray that God will change our circumstances. That's what the way we typically pray in America. That's not the way they prayed. That's not the way they prayed at all. Verse 24, I want to read this prayer again, and then I want us to go down through five principles of this prayer that I think will be helpful to us in our prayer life. Let's read it again, verse 24. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, Thou art God, who hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. Now, we'll stop and just look at these one at a time. The first thing that we need to know about a prayer that gets answered is it's a prayer that recognizes who God is. It's a prayer that recognizes who God is. Verse 24, they said, Lord, You are God. You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. First of all, Lord, You're Creator. Have you ever thought about the fact that since God created everything, that pretty much answers the question of whether or not anything is too hard for Him? When I build something, I work in construction, and I like to work on my house. It's a good thing because it needs a lot of work. And I'm always working with my hands. I have to go down to Home Depot or Lowe's or a hardware store, and I have to buy materials. But God just spoke. God just spoke and created everything. Everything. Things that we can see, things that we cannot see. God didn't have to go get the raw materials. God spoke it into existence. This is the God who died for you on the cross. Jesus Christ is the one by whom all things were made. That's what John tells us in John chapter 1. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. This is your Savior. Your Savior spoke everything into existence. When you are approaching God in prayer, you are speaking to the Creator. And there is nothing outside of His ability. Not only that, your Creator is the Lord. They said, Lord, Thou art God. He's the Creator. That should answer it all. But just in case, you need to recognize the fact that He is absolute sovereign Lord of the universe. There is no power greater than the power of our God. And when we approach Him in prayer, we are not approaching an earthly leader. We might think that we would like to go march right up the steps of the White House and tell a president what we think he ought to do. We might like to walk into Congress and stand up and say, Ms. Speaker, you ought to do it this way. We might like to go down to Nashville and tell the governor how we think he ought to do things. But these people are just people. They're nothing in compared to our God. And every time you approach God in prayer, you are approaching the supreme ruler of the universe. And so this was a prayer that recognized, first of all, who God is. The second thing is it's a prayer that depends on what God says. Look in verse 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, Why did the people, the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things. The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. They are quoting Scripture from the book of Psalms. What are they quoting Scripture about? David, being a prophet, was foreseeing what would happen. That the kings of the earth, the rulers, those in authority, would stand against God and against His Christ. And they've always done that. The rulers of this earth are not pro-gospel. That doesn't mean that there aren't people in authority that are not believers. There certainly are. And we need to pray for more believers to serve in ways in our government so as to direct our country back to God. That's great. But folks, the system, the government systems of this world do not exist from their point of view to glorify God. Now, God uses them to accomplish His purposes. But our salvation is not in Washington. Our salvation is not in Nashville. It's not at the city-county building of Knoxville. Our salvation is in God and God alone. This government world system does not stand for Christ. And one of my concerns, always in an election year, but all the time, is that Christian people put our hope in the wrong place. We need to be responsible citizens. We need to vote. We need to vote our conscience. We need to pray and ask God to lead us. But our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in Christ. It's not in any man-made institution. And they understood that because they understood the Word of God. They understood that what they were undergoing, this persecution, which was just in its infancy at this point, it's going to get a whole lot worse throughout the book of Acts. But this persecution that was beginning was something that was frightening to them. It was real. But they knew that God had already said it would happen. And so they were praying God's words back to Him. And folks, when we pray, we need to go armed with the Word of God so that we are praying in accordance with the Word of God. Prayer that gets answered is, first of all, prayer that recognizes who God is. It's, secondly, prayer that depends on what God says. And then, thirdly, it's prayer that observes what God is doing. Look in verse 27. For a truth, or against thy holy, excuse me, verse 26. Verse 26 says, the kings of the earth stood up, rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against His Christ, for a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Think about this for a minute. They are recognizing that there were human beings doing evil things. The Jews, the leaders of the Jews, Israel as a whole, the Gentiles, Pontius Pilate, and Herod were all committing crimes against God. They were all committing sin. But at the same time, notice what else was happening. God was accomplishing His purpose. Two things were happening at the same time. One, man was exercising his free will to sin against God. And two, God was exercising His sovereign will to accomplish His purpose. Both things were happening at the same time. You see that? Herod, Pontius Pilate, Gentiles, the people of Israel, all gathered together to do what? To do whatever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. Do you know God is able to work in the affairs of man to accomplish His sovereign purposes? And we don't understand it. Theologians have tried for centuries to figure this out. And if they're smart, they'll realize they can't. Because God is God and we're not. We can't understand the mind of God completely. God has given us what He wants us to understand in His Word, and we can understand that. But there are some things I just don't understand. But I know my God is big enough to work through things that to me look like an absolute mess and accomplish His purpose. They were looking at the circumstances around them, and even though they didn't understand, and even though they were feeling the pain, and they had lost, in the physical sense, their Savior to death on a cross, God was accomplishing a greater purpose. And they knew that. They knew that. You know, you and I go through things all the time we don't understand. And sometimes we'll look at Romans 8:28. We'll say, we know all things work together for good. Them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. Someday, maybe I'll understand. Someday, maybe I'll know what He's doing. But right now, I don't. We've all been there. Do you know what He's accomplishing? It's in Romans 8:29. He's accomplishing the purpose of making us more like Christ. Romans 8:28 doesn't stop right there. Go on to read verse 29. He has predestined you to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. And He works all things together for good to accomplish that purpose. And when we realize that, there's nothing wrong with praying for the bad thing to go away. Whether it be cancer, like Brother Rodney has, or whether it be a financial reversal, whether it be a disappointment in a relationship, broken heart, a lost job, whatever it might be. And there's nothing wrong with praying for God to fix it, but at the same time, folks, we need to realize that God has a plan, and we need to be in submission to His plan, watching for His work to happen in our lives, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of fear, even in the midst of disaster. God is able to work. And so prayer that gets answered is prayer that observes what God is doing. Observes what God is doing. And then fourthly, prayer that gets answered is prayer that is concerned with what God wants. Verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto Thy servants that with all boldness they may speak Thy word, by stretching forth Thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of Thy holy child, Jesus." This is not an American prayer. There is no request for the threats to stop. Did you notice that? There's no request for a new high priest to be installed that will be friendly to our position. What is the request? First of all, Lord, see their threats. Look at what they're threatening. But Lord, what we need is boldness. Why? Because what God wants is He wants the gospel to be preached. He wants people to be saved. He wants lives to be transformed. What God wants is for the kingdom to be advanced. And if I live or if I die, God wants His kingdom to be advanced. If my finances go up or they go down, if my health is good or if it's bad, whatever it is, Lord, use me to advance Your kingdom. Give me the boldness to speak Your word, regardless of what the circumstances are. That was their prayer. They prayed for boldness and they prayed for God's witness through miracles. And we'll not get into the whole argument about when miracles happen and when they don't happen and all that stuff, because it's obvious in the book of Acts there is an intense period of miraculous happenings early in the book. And as you get farther in the book, there are fewer and fewer miracles. Does that mean God doesn't work miracles today? Absolutely not. I believe God works miracles today. But God uses the miracles for His purposes in His time. It's His choice. And He was doing it at this time. They asked for boldness. They were concerned more with what God wants than with what they wanted. They were concerned more with the glory of God than their own comfort. Do you see that? Their main concern was that God be glorified. They've started out recognizing who God is. They've moved on to what God says. They're quoting God's word back to Him in prayer. They're observing around them what God is doing. They're taking what God has said and who God is. They're applying it to what they see. That's how they know what God is doing. They're acknowledging God's work around them. They're more concerned with what God wants than with what they want. And then number five, lastly, prayer that gets answered is a prayer that puts faith into action. Verse 31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And what did they do? They spake the word of God with boldness. Boldness. What did they ask for? Boldness. What did they do? Speak with boldness. They asked God, and then they acted on faith. You know, faith is not passive. Faith is active. There's a story told, you probably heard some version of this before, and I don't know if it's a true story or just a story for an illustration, but I'll tell you the story. The story of a tightrope walker. He had a tightrope stretched across Niagara Falls. He was the greatest tightrope walker of his time. And he had a crowd cheering him on. We believe you can walk across the Niagara Falls on this tightrope. He said, you believe that? Yeah, we believe that. He said, do you believe I can take this wheelbarrow and I can walk across that tightrope with the wheelbarrow safely, get to the other side? Yes, we believe that. Do you believe if I had a person sitting in the wheelbarrow and walked across that tightrope, get safely to the other side? Yes, we believe. Who's ready to get in? Who's ready to get in? If you're not ready to get in, do you really believe? See, faith is active. Faith is active. James challenges us with this in his book, James chapter 1, verse 5, when he tells us to ask of God if we want wisdom. He said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraids not. But you remember the promise? He said, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Because he that wavers is like the sea, tossed to and fro. So when you ask God for wisdom, what do? Wait for a sign to drop out of a cloud somewhere? Look for a billboard? This must be a sign from God? What do when you ask for wisdom? You ask for wisdom. Let me tell you a secret, okay? I learned this a long time ago. You ask for wisdom from God. Now make sure you're seeking the Word of God for that wisdom. And if the Bible has something to say about the thing that you need wisdom on, obey the Bible. Don't be one of those people that say, I believe God's telling me this, and it's totally opposite of what the Bible says. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is acting in accordance with the Word of God. But there are those things that you don't know the answer to. You come to a crossroads, and there's no right or wrong whether you turn left or right. It's just, Lord, I don't know which way you want me to turn. I don't know what decision you want me to make. What do? You believe God will give you the wisdom. And then you act. You make a decision and you act. You inform yourself with the Word of God. You seek God in prayer. You ask Him to give you direction. And you say, God, you have said if I ask for wisdom that you would give it to me, and I must believe it. So I'm going to choose to believe it, and I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to step in the wheelbarrow. God will give you the wisdom. Now you may take that step and you may say, oh my goodness, this is the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. But you know, God has a way of taking that and directing it over here where He wants you to be. I'll tell you a story. I've told my class several times. They probably could tell it for me. I've told them so many times. It's one of my favorite stories. When I was the church I was ordained in, I was a member of that church. I hadn't gone into ministry yet, but I was one of the teachers, and we had an evangelism ministry that we were doing. And the way the evangelism ministry worked is one person who had been trained in how to share their faith would take two other people, and you would go out visiting and share your faith. And your best calls to make were the ones that somebody had visited the church and they'd filled out a card, you know, and that person was already open to the gospel. They might be saved, they might not, but you would go to their home, you'd ask them some questions, try to find out whether or not they were saved. Those were the best calls. But then if you ran out of those calls, we had a questionnaire. Nobody wanted to do the questionnaire. That's when you go up, you knock on a door. You've never seen these people before in your life. Yes, we did this. Knock on that door, and that person comes to the door, and you say, would you be willing to answer 5 questions for me? It was Community Baptist Church in Lenore City. I'm from Community Baptist Church. Would you help me by answering these 5 questions of a survey that we're doing? We didn't really use the word survey because it wasn't officially a survey. I can't remember the exact phrasing that we used. But basically, we phrased it correctly, so it was true. But we wanted to ask them these questions. And the first 2 questions were the key questions. Question number 1, have you come to the place in your spiritual life where you know for certain if you were to die today that you would go to heaven? And the second question is, suppose you were to die today and God were to say, why would I let you into my heaven? What would you say? The answer to the first question tells you whether or not a person thinks they're going to heaven. The second question answer tells you whether or not they know what it takes to get to heaven. And so we would use those. Well, anyway, we had gone through our calls that night. I was the leader, had my trainees with me, and I was a little irritated that I hadn't been able to find anybody at home, you know. And I was determined to share the gospel tonight with somebody, you know. Gonna make it happen. So I remember what road I was on. I remember exactly where I was at. Came to this stop sign, and I had to turn left or right. And I said, Lord, your word says, look, ask if we lack wisdom, and I lack it, I don't know where you want me to go. I'm asking you wisdom, which way to turn. In Jesus' name, amen. I turned right. I mean, just like that. I'm going to turn right. Go down the road, and we came to this apartment complex. And I can't remember, it's been many years now. I can't remember the details of how many doors we knocked on. I don't think we knocked on very many. We knocked on this one door. Guy came to the door, and I asked him if he would answer these questions. He said yes, and I asked him, did he know for sure he was going to go to heaven? And he said no. And I said, if you stood before God and he asked you, why should I let you in, what would you say? And he said, I don't know. I don't know why God would do that. And I said, well, I had asked my 5 questions, you know. And I said, would you mind, could I take just a few minutes? Actually, the 5th question was, could I take a few minutes and share with you how you can know that you have eternal life? How you can know. I read 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15. Verse 13 says, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know. 1 John 5, 13. You can know. You can know that you have eternal life. And so I asked him, he said yes. Came inside, sat down with him, and began to share the gospel with him. Well, we had taught our trainees, one of the things that you do if you're not sharing the gospel, somebody sit near the TV, because usually the TV's on, and just kind of go and turn it down. You know? So somebody had done that. They had turned the TV down. Didn't even pay attention to what was on, you know. But so we go on and we share the gospel. I said, would you like to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior? I explained to him that Christ had died for his sins on the cross, that he could possibly, not possibly, be good enough to merit heaven. But because he was a sinner, because I'm a sinner, because you're sinners, all of us deserve hell. We need Christ. And He shed His blood on the cross to pay for our sins. And it was sufficient to pay for all the sins that we've ever committed. And if we would just trust in Him, put our faith in Him and Him alone, He would give us everlasting life. He said, I'd like to do that. So we bowed our heads and we began to pray. As we were praying, I started listening to the television. And I realized it was the end of a Billy Graham crusade. And they were singing Just As I Am. While we were praying for him to receive Christ. And I thought, wow, that's awesome. You know, thanks God. What a cool thing. I thought that was cool. That wasn't the end of it. We get finished. And he looks up at me and I said, is there somebody you'd like to tell about your decision? About that time, there was a young man walking downstairs. This was an apartment that had, it was a townhouse, you know. Young man starts walking downstairs, and it's his brother. And the brother wants to know what's going on. So we tell him what's just happened. His brother tells him he's just received Christ. And the brother that was upstairs is a Christian. He was upstairs praying for someone to tell his brother how to get saved. Right then I knew that when God had promised me to give me wisdom in which way to go in that decision, where there was no right and no wrong, He directed me to that door, to that time, and had the timing perfect. And I think He even added, just as I am, to help me understand that He was able to answer my prayer and I could trust Him. I could trust Him. God wants to answer our prayers. And He wants to answer them, yes. He does. He wants to answer them, yes. He desires to do that. But what needs to change is not God, it's us. It's us who need to change to conform our prayers to God's will. And as we do that, we will see God doing things on our behalf as an answer to prayer. And you know what that does? That builds your faith. And as your faith builds, you ask for greater things and greater things. Because what happens is, when your faith builds, it's not something about you. It's not all about you and your faith. Your faith is not really bigger. It's just that you see how big God is. God isn't any bigger. God is who He is. But your vision of God gets bigger. Folks, that's the way to get prayers answered. Recognize who God is. Depend on what God says. Observe what God is doing around you. Be more concerned with what God wants than with what you want. And put your faith into action. Put your faith into action. And God will move. He desires to do that. I won't take time to read there, but if you want to read further about this story, of course, the next story, kind of leading up to the story about Ananias and Sapphira, read that one, you may, oh my goodness. But if you get to verse 12 of chapter 5, it says that there were so many miracles, it was like it had more than they had ever had before. And more people were being added daily to the church than ever before. See, this, I believe, was a direct result of this prayer. This prayer. This prayer was not only answered in the boldness, but they also asked God to do these miracles so that He would be it would be a witness for the gospel. It wasn't about the miracles, it was about the gospel. And the gospel witness was so much that Luke quits writing down numbers. So far he's been telling us 3,000, you know, 5,000, now he's just, he's multitudes.
Multitudes. Why? God was answering prayer. God was answering prayer. So let's pray. And as we pray, I'm going to ask, if there's anyone here, you're not certain about your eternity. If I ask you that question, if you died today, do you know for sure that you would wake up in the presence of Christ and you say, I don't know? You need to know. God wants you to know. And if I were to ask you that question, and the second question, suppose you were to die today and you stood before God and He said, why would I let you into my heaven? And you tell me, because I go to church, because I give tithes, because I'm a nice person, because I do whatever. You're missing it. You're missing it. You can't be good enough. Jesus says, be holy for your Father in heaven. Be perfect for your Father in heaven is perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. None of us are perfect. There was only one perfect person. That was Jesus. And when He died on the cross, His perfect life was sufficient that His blood could pay for all of our sins. And that's the only hope we have in heaven. So if you're trusting in that, that's wonderful. But if you're not, today needs to be the day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,